This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, October 31st, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Newsom seeks to lower electric bills. California sets a 40% goal for sustainable aviation fuel, and bird flu found at a pig in Oregon. Newsom tasks agencies with lowering electric bills. Through an executive order yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom directed agencies to collaborate on ways to reduce electric bills for Californians. Newsom urged the Public Utilities Commission to cut the fat by singling out underperforming programs, pull their funding, and send it to residents. He pressed the Air Resources Board to find ways to expand a climate credit paid for by cap-and-trade revenues. He called for CPUC to evaluate the cost of regulations and recommend ways to ease that burden. And he tasked the Office of Energy Infrastructure Safety with ensuring utilities like PG&E are being penny-wise with the millions of ratepayer dollars put to the undergrounding power lines and other wildfire mitigation activities. Newsom emphasized that the state is taking action to address rising cost. That action was enough to gain the backing of legislative leaders. Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas said he supports increased oversight of regulators to ensure they implement programs effectively and responsibly. Senate Pro Tem Mike McGuire added that the agencies, quote, need to buckle down and blunt the expanding fiscal impact on ratepayers. He hinted at legislation to come in the next session that will double down on this progress. Now keep in mind, the administration has been racing to counter the narrative that the state is to blame for rising energy costs. The Air Resources Board is under fire for claims a pending update to the low carbon fuel standard would raise gas prices. Argument certain to come up next week as board members weigh the proposal. Newsom's directive last Friday to fast-track E15 was another action in the campaign, and on Wednesday, he again tapped into the national playbook for agriculture. Newsom sets a 40% goal for sustainable aviation fuel. At nearly the same time as his announcement on lowering electric bills, Newsom launched a new partnership with National Airlines over sustainable aviation fuel. The governor wants it to account for 40% of the fuel used in passenger and cargo flights within the state by 2035. CARB brokered the deal with the trade group Airlines for America. The plan is to deploy at least 200 million gallons of the biofuel mix at a cost that is competitive with conventional fuel. They plan to achieve this through investment incentives and expedited permitting. The first step is to assemble a working group that includes industry stakeholders. CARB Chair Lane Randolph said the partnership brings the aviation industry on board to advance a clean air future. The agency has raised eyebrows in the industry as it plays with the idea earlier this year of adding aviation fuels to the LCFS, essentially adding a carbon tax on in-state flights. Kevin Welsh, Vice President of Environment and Chief Sustainability Officer at Airlines for America, said such partnerships as this one reflect the type of collaboration between government and the private sector that is necessary to achieve ambitious climate goals. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. At CalCan Summit, electeds address legislative partnership. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross and Assembly Member Lori Wilson joined a panel on the future of climate smart agriculture during the California Climate and Agriculture Summit 2024.
The two fielded questions about how the state is addressing weather extremes and what's to be done about gridlock in both state and federal legislatures. Secretary Ross referred to SGMA as a model for how the state can offer guideposts for local authority over land use, warning that without the oversight, more ag space can be transitioned to housing and solar panels. Assemblymember Wilson encouraged the audience to engage their local representatives and said she's recently been encouraged by fellow members reprioritizing people's stories over their party alliance. That's the work that we have to do here in this room, is continuing to build that network, she said. So when that bill comes forward, the relationships are already there. The trust is already there to say, hey, here's the issue, here's why it's impactful. Secretary Ross backed up the assembly member, calling out Congress for their political approach to farm bill discussions. Food should not be weaponized and it should not be politicized because it never used to be such a partisan issue, she said. On grant funding, Secretary Ross added that the election will matter for federal dollars coming down the pike, saying the greater technical assistance and ensuring money reaches underserved communities is key for optimal program benefit. Pig infected with H5N1 found in Oregon, the first time in the U.S. The hog industry says the U.S. pork supply is safe following detection of H5N1 in a pig from a backyard farm in Oregon. Concerns remain, though, about possible mutations in the virus. The confirmed case in Oregon poses no threat to consumer health or food safety. Properly handled and cooked pork products remain safe for consumption, said Brian Humphreys, CEO of the National Pork Producers Council. He said the entire pork industry remains committed to safeguarding food safety and human and animal health. Some in the scientific community have raised concerns about the H5N1 virus being found in pigs, which can harbor both avian and mammalian viruses. It has long been thought that pigs act as a mixing bowl where reassortment between human and bird viruses can take place and create a shift pandemic strain, says an FAQ from the American Society of Microbiology. On the other hand, Dean Sittlinger, a Oregon State Health Officer, said yesterday, during monitoring of this virus, we've not seen huge mutations that would indicate that the virus is becoming more easily spread. We've not seen indications the virus has mutations that could cause more serious illness among humans, and we've not seen any documented evidence of human-to-human transition. Environmentalists ask EPA for national strategy to combat nitrate in drinking water. 22 environmental groups are asking EPA to take emergency action to address high nitrate contamination in drinking water that they say is caused by agriculture. Nitrates can pollute drinking water from overuse or mismanagement of fertilizer or manure by industry-scale agriculture, the coalition wrote in a letter. Therefore, rural and agriculture communities face the greatest threat to nitrate exposure, the groups argue. Exposure can pose health risk, particularly to infants and pregnant women. Organizations, include the one signed on to Tuesday's letter, have submitted 5 emergency petitions under Section 1431 of the Safe Drinking Water Act over the last 10 years. In those petitions, the groups have pointed to high nitrate levels in different rural communities. The highest documented nitrate concentration from the 5 states was 190 parts per million, 19 times higher than the national allowable level. The groups include the Center for Biological Diversity, Center for Food Safety, Environmental Working Group, and several community organizations from Iowa, Minnesota, Oregon, Washington, and Wisconsin, where previous petitions were filed. CDC. Onions are likely the source of McDonald's E. coli outbreak. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say epidemiologic and traceback data show slivered onions served on McDonald's quarter pounders are likely the source of contamination in a deadly E. coli outbreak. The company said it ruled out beef patties earlier this week and would resume selling the burgers without onions from its typical supplier.
The CDC says all new illnesses tied to the outbreak occurred before McDonald's and Taylor Farms, the onion supplier, in select areas removed the products from stores. As of October 30, the number of reported illnesses increased to 90. Five more people had been hospitalized, bringing that total to 27. One person has died. Still, because of the actions taken by McDonald's and Taylor Farms, the CDC believes the public risk is low. Taylor Farms recalls some onions from its Colorado Springs facility last week out of concern of E. coli contamination. Following the recall, several other fast food chains like Burger King, Taco Bell, and KFC announced they were removing onions from the supplier. CDC notes that the recalled onions were only distributed to restaurants, making it unlikely they went to grocery stores or directly to consumers. Here's today's final word. I woke up this morning and I broke the law. I just don't know which one. That's Aaron Fukuda, general manager of the Tulare Irrigation District. He's speaking at the annual conference of the Water Education Foundation in Sacramento yesterday. Fukuda said regulatory uncertainty is the biggest challenge local water agencies are dealing with. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, October 31st, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.